Jeremiah chapter 17. Jeremiah chapter 17. Bible says in verse number 1, "And the sin of Judah was written with a pen of iron and with the point of a diamond, and was graven upon the table of their hearts and upon the horns of your altars, whilst their children remember their altars and their groves by the green trees upon the high hills. O my mountain in the field, I will give by thy substance and all thy treasures to the spoil and thy high places for sin throughout all thy borders. And thou, even thyself, shalt discontinue from thine heritage that I gave thee. And I will cause thee to serve thine enemies in the land which thou knowest not. For I have kindled a fire in mine anger, which shall burn forever. Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, and maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath of in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. As the partridge sitteth on the eggs and hatcheth them not, so he that getteth riches and not by right shall leave them in the midst of his days, and at his end shall be a fool. A glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Our Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that part from me shall be written in the earth, because they have forsaken the Lord, the fountain of living waters. Heal me, O Lord, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. Behold, they say unto me, where is the word of the Lord? Let it come now. As for me, I have not hastened from being a pastor to follow thee, neither have I desired the woeful day. Thou knowest that which came out of my lips was right before thee. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Let them be confounded that persecute me. But let not me be confounded. Let them be dismayed. But let not me be dismayed. Try to bring upon them the day of evil, and destroy them with double destruction." Amen. I want to preach a few minutes tonight, if God will be our help, on this thought: God's occupations. God's occupations. You say, "Well, preacher, I didn't know God worked." I can tell you, God's busy all the time. Amen. You say, "Well, how come you say that? Have you looked around at you lately? Yeah. Have you looked around at me lately?" God is busy all the time. Hey, God don't have time for slackness. Amen. He's got me to contend with. So God is busy all the time. But I want you to notice what God does for us. Sometimes I think we forget what God does for us. Not what He's done, but what He does. On a daily basis, God is continuing to work in you and me, for you and me, to bring us to where we need to be and give us that we stand in need of. And we all got needs every day, man. And we all need help from the Lord. We can't make it without Him. We need strengthening. We need help. We need hope. We need confidence so we can persevere in this world in which we live. It's crazy. The world's lost its mind. Amen. It's like they've decided to go in the wrong direction, or wanting to go just as hard and fast as they can go. But I'm glad there's a God of heaven who's still in control of all that. Amen. That's what it's already been said tonight. He's not sitting in heaven wringing His hands. He knows exactly what we need today. Amen. He's still a part of this country, this nation that was established upon the foundation of Judeo-Christian belief, where we trust the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. As we look at this and we see it tonight, we see what God does for us. Number one tonight, we see God as an engraver. Amen. God engraves upon the heart of men. But let me say tonight, when we sin, when you sin, when I sin, when we do those things that's contrary to God and godliness, we sin, we write in our own hearts. Amen? He's speaking here to Judah and how Judah had turned her back on God. And you know, a lot of times we look down on the little nation of Israel and see, "I don't understand why they did that. They should have never done that. I wonder why we do that." We should have never done it, but we do it. We forsake God. We turn our back on Him. A lot of times we'll go days at a time and never think upon the Lord, to our shame. Amen. But that's what Judah did. He said they written in their hearts. Amen. The sin was writing in the hearts of those people. And when we write those sinful things upon our hearts, He said it was engraven with a pin of iron and a point of a diamond. A pin of iron and a point of a diamond could write on about anything. Amen. A diamond is one of the hardest substances there is in the world. And it can engrave on just about anything. And He said what they've done, they've wrote with a pin of iron and a point of a diamond in the tablet of their heart. I want to say when we sin, when you sin, when I sin, we do something contrary to God. We're literally writing in our heart, amen, a disobedience to God. And you say, well, preacher, how do we fix that? The only one that can fix that is God Almighty. The only one that can raise those etchings in our hearts is the Lord Jesus. He's the only one that can. You say, preacher, how does He do it? When we repent and we trust in Him, when we confess our sins, amen, and we say, Lord, forgive us, an old sinner. And you know how we know how to do that? It's because God Almighty, He writes His Word in our hearts. Amen. I'm glad that He does that, ain't you? Amen. Praise God. That's how we get victory over sin, is because the Word of God that's etched in our hearts. It needs to be sound. It needs to be solid. It needs to be written in there, praise God, so that we can retain it, so that we can praise God and give Him glory even in times like these. Sin, praise God, doesn't have victory. The only way to get victory over our sin, praise God, is God have God to erase those from our hearts. And because of the Word of God, the psalmist would say, he said, I hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, we quoted that this morning in Psalms 119 and 11. The psalmist was looking to the Lord, and he said, Lord, I want to hide your word in my heart. And so I want that word that's hidden in my heart to help me from sinning against you. He said, I want that word that's hidden in my heart to keep me from doing anything that's contrary to the love that you have for me, so that I can be brought up and encouraged to be encouragers of the brethren. We need encouragement. We need love. We need compassion. We need the touch of God tonight to help us to be what God would have us to be. The only way to get victory over sin is to have the Word of God engraven in our hearts, that we might know Him in the free pardon of sin. The Bible says that we shouldn't sin, but if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm glad today that when I mess up, and I'm apt to do that any minute, praise God, I'm glad I've got somebody. Brother Bill, it's on my side. He'll show me my error, my way, and he'll tell me that he loves me anyway. I tell you, when we got children, we got these little grandbabies, and if we had to do over, it'd be good. Hey, it'd be all right if we had them first. Amen. What a blessing they are. Praise God, and we see them, and they're little, and they mess up. They do things they shouldn't do, and you tell them, no, 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 but they do it anyway, and they look at you with a grin over their shoulder and just see what you're going to do about it. I'm going to say that's what we do a lot of times as God's little children. He says no, 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 but we do it anyway, looking over our shoulder with a grin on our face. But God has to redirect us, and we realize that we messed up and we broke His heart. Amen. Little Allie was there, and I told her no this evening, and she was we were getting lunch together, and I told her no. And I didn't do it in any kind of raising my voice or nothing. But because Papa told her no, it broke her little heart. Amen. Boy, she flew up. Her lip went out and went to quivering. Amen. And she realized, praise God, that Papa loves her. God knows I do. But Papa had told her no. Amen. And then, boy, that little lip was great. Hey, listen, that's why you ought to be with God. We all realize when God tells us no, God means no. And praise God, if we'll confess our sin and forsake our sin, God will restore us in victory over the sinfulness of our lives. Amen. The altar. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul was speaking to his people. And he asked them this question. He's talking about that being wrote in their hearts. the writing in her heart. She said, do we begin again to commend ourselves? Or need we, as some others, as epistles of commendation to you, to letters or letters of commendation from you? Ye are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read of all men. For as much as ye are manifestly declared to be the epistle of Christ ministered by us, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not in the tables of stone, but in the fleshy tables of the heart. He said, where God does business, where God gives us victory over sin, is in the fleshly table of our heart. The Word of God being, praise God, printed on our soul, where we know who God is and what He wants to do. So that when we pull, I'm talking about God engraving in our hearts, praise God. And those things that we do is contrary, praise God, through the Word of God, He can erase those things. Give us a pure heart before God. Amen. See, God's altar is a place where we ought to be able to a place of remitting sins. When He was dealing with Judah, it wasn't a place of remitting sin, but it was not a place of remitting sin, but it was a place of recording sin. Amen. When you don't have forgiveness in your heart, you don't have repentance in your heart, praise God, it's there forever. Something to think about, isn't it? When we don't confess and ask God to help us, but God's an engraver. I praise God, He has a way and ability through the Word of God to cover over, to get rid of that old engravings that we put on there in sin, and give us victory in Jesus. Where the thing comes on our hearts, the engraving in our heart says, Jesus, 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 the victory of my soul. Amen. He's the one that brings them out. So we see, praise God, that their sin was engraven in her heart. Even there was it engraven. But God Almighty said He was able to erase those engravings if we had put our trust and faith in Him. Praise His holy name. So God is an engraver. Not only is God an engraver, but God's a farmer. Did you know God was a farmer? Amen. Glory. Hallelujah. He's able to do those things, praise God, that man can't expect. He's able to do those things that only God can do. He's able to take a tree and plant it by the water, praise God, where it can be manifest. Glory. He's a farmer of farmers this evening. Amen. The Bible says in verse number 5, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like a heath of the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parts wilderness, places in the wilderness, in the salt land, and not inhabited. But he said, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope is in the Lord, in the Lord is. So he said this, he goes on verse 8, and he says, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when he cometh, nor her leaf shall be, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. Amen. He said, what the farmer does, praise God, he takes a tree that's planted by the waters. Amen. When you have faith in the Lord, it's that white tree planted by the waters that has those deep running roots. Praise God. That deep running roots is what we need today in the Lord Jesus Christ. That'll help us to survive the drought. I thought about this, which been, I don't know about your house, but it's been dry at mine for a while. We've had two or three little showers, but the winds are kicking up, and by the time the shower's gone, the ground's dry. Amen. We need some water. We need some rain in substance. Amen. But then we see those that's planted by the waters, and they've got those deep running roots, and that because of that, they're able to survive the drought that's come. You say, well, what's so special about that? Praise God, there's a farmer that plants us by the waters of life. And if we'll seek our roots in deep, praise God, we'll be able to survive the droughts that come our way. Praise the Lord, when the things aren't running exactly like they should, when things ain't going our way, when there's a drought down at the house of God, when there's not as much nourishment, praise God, from the Word of God as you'd like to have.
I'm glad that there's a farmer that's in control. Praise God, he's a running well, and he knows exactly where we're at. And that tree that's planted by the water, praise God, it'll rise up, and it'll spread out its roots because of the good farmer, and it'll get into that good water. That well of life, praise God, that'll spring up into life forever. Amen. Life everlasting. It's what we have in Jesus Christ our Lord. Able to survive the droughts that come our way. Not only able to survive a drought, but able to strive in a drought. Amen. There's a lot of things, praise God, that's able to survive a drought, but there's not a whole lot of things that's able to thrive in a drought. I noticed our little oak trees at the house, about the time they started making acorns pretty good, it turned off dry, and it's been dry ever since. And I noticed a while back those acorns were starting to let go and fall off, and they're teeny tiny little things. But yet they produced. I want to say praise God. If you're but out there on the other tree, there's another tree. There's a persimmon tree out there that's next to the house on the ridge. And that persimmon tree, praise God, it had big old persimmons on that thing. And those things was just as pretty as could be. And they grew up there. And we had that first frost here a while back. And them things were starting to fall off. And boy, you could take those things and pop them in your mouth. And they'd melt in your mouth. Glory, hallelujah. Just as sweet. Somebody said, well, you can't eat them, them bitter. I won't say there was nothing bitter about them. Because the farmer, praise God, from glory, he had done touched those little old persimmons. I believe he done it because he knows I like them. Praise God. Listen, they fall off, and I go up through there, and I know the cows and everything else has walked on them paths, but they're there, and they, amen, I get them, I pick them up, I wipe them off, and boy, I just eat them by the handfuls. Glory, hallelujah. What a blessing. Hey, you say, well, preacher, that sounds nice. You ought to take him, wash them. Amen, glory, hallelujah. The farmer doesn't grow them on the tree, praise God. And I just say, Lord, just bless these things. I thank you for them. Praise God, it's good. Even during a time of drought, praise God, even time of severity. Not only did that persimmon tree strive, but it produced, praise God. Amen. It grows and it produces fruit, even in a drought, because of the farmer. Because that tree that's planted by the water, that tree, praise God. Now, my tree ain't planted by the water. My tree's up on top of a ridge, got rocks all around it. Amen. You think if there's anything that would have a hard time, it'd be that little old persimmon tree. But I'm going to say glory, hallelujah, that thing produced like crazy. And it's still got a bunch on it. Amen. Well, it's got on it what I can't shake off of it. Amen. It's getting bit used to. I could get that thing and shake it good and it'd fall off. Praise God, it's getting big enough that I can't shake it like I'd like to. Amen. But praise God, I have to wait till the farmer lets them fall off, praise God, so I can pick them up. Glory to God, you know what he done? He produced the fruit, praise God, a good abundance of fruit, even during a drought. Praise God, he's just giving me a handful on purpose. Praise God, when I go up through there, do work on the farm, praise God, and I just give him glory, glory and praise for it. Amen. You say, preacher, I don't know what you're talking about. I ain't never ate a persimmon. Praise God, you don't know what you're missing. Amen. Amen. Praise God, they're good. They're pretty good. They're full of seeds. You got to spit them seeds out. But praise God, them simmons, praise the Lord, they'll bless your heart. Amen. Even during a drought, praise God, they produce. They produce fruit, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise His holy name, glory to God. But he said, hey, listen, that's what God does. The farmer does, but you let a man do it by himself. Man can't do that. Man can't produce that, praise God, needs to be produced. A man by himself, he said, a man by himself is just like a shrub out in the desert. Amen? Amen. When a man tries to do something of his own will, his own accord, he said, praise God, he's not going to be productive. He's not going to have those roots established, praise God. They's not a God of heaven, praise the Lord. A man is not God. Right. It takes the good Lord of heaven to do those things. Verse 5, he said, thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in a man. I'm afraid we've got to win a day and hour that we trust in men too much. Amen? We need to trust in God. I told somebody today, my granddaddy told me, praise the Lord, he said when things were bad and they was going through the depression, he sat there, tears running down his face under the old oak tree talking to me and drinking granny's Kool-Aid. And he said, praise God, when the depression come, he said, I didn't know there was a depression. He said, we had what we needed, God had supplied it, and he supplied it right on through. He said, we didn't want for nothing. God provided. Boy, he's just giving God the glory and the praise. You know what? Brother Bill, that ain't never left me. Amen. They just said it's hard times. They said people was jumping off buildings. People committing suicide during the Depression. But praise God, God Almighty was taking care of my papaw. Praise the Lord. He said they didn't want for nothing. God was with them. They was like that tree planted by the water. Praise God. It had the roots out there. They was trusting God. Amen. I'm telling you, young as they come in a day and a time that we're going to need to trust the Lord. We're going to have to ask God to help us. And we're going to have to believe that He will. Amen. Then He was a rewarder of those that diligently seek Him. He'll take care of us. He'll give us what we need. He is the farmer. You think about it. We're losing our farms. I thought about that today. We're losing our farm. People's are selling off their farms. Kids are inheriting the farm and they're selling them. They're getting rid of them. They don't want them. They just want that money so they have a good time. Amen. Praise God. We better ask God to help us, and we better get in there and do praise God. He said to consider the ain't. We need to be diligent about working for God, about taking care of that God give us, and being praise God, trying to be a blessing to others. I appreciate this summer we took time about bringing each other some produce from the garden. I mean, that's what it's about. God said, praise God, if we'll put forth a little bit of effort, God will do the rest. When we put our faith and trust in Him, He'll help us take care of each other. He'll take care of us and He'll help us take care of each other. That's what we do. Amen. That's what the church is about. That's what the church is for. But He said, that man that trusts is in a man, maketh his arm flesh, or his flesh his arm, and his heart departeth from the Lord. Amen. You get people start trusting and trusting in themselves. Self will let you down. Self will let you down quicker than anybody you know. Amen. But see, He said, for he shall be like a heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in the salt land and not inhabited. He's just out in the, as Moses said, he's in a waste howling wilderness with nobody to go to and no help out there. But he said, the Father and the farmer will help you. He'll give you that, praise God, and encourage you along the journey. But not only is God the engraver of your heart and the farmer in your life, but He's also the doctor of your soul. Amen. The Bible tells us, verse number 9, that the heart is sick. Amen. That the heart is sick. It's desperately wicked. Who can know it? And we see that the world, what's wrong with them? Their hearts are sick. They're sick of heart. And the only one, praise God, the great physician can help them. See, the great physician is the only one that can diagnose the problem. We've got thousands and thousands, probably millions of people in this world today. Homeless people on drugs and alcohol, laying in the streets and the gutters tonight. And they're saying, what can we do? How can we fix it? Only God can fix that. Amen. Their hearts are sick, even unto death. And it takes the great physician, praise God. He's the only one that can diagnose the problem. Amen. Amen. We can't diagnose them. We don't know what's wrong with them. But God does. A lot of it's sin sickness. Hearts that are sick. And the great physician knows. He can diagnose the problem and He's got the cure. Amen. God has the cure. He can bring the necessary healing, praise God, into their lives. If we can get them to trust the Lord, if we can get them to realize that there is somebody that loves them and cares for them, somebody that has compassion on them, would like to see them get better. Amen. The only one that can do that is God, the great physician. He can diagnose the problem and He can do the healing. There's a whole lot of our people today that's sin sick. There's a whole lot of our people today, Brother Kevin, that need the Lord. A whole lot of our young people are being drug off into a world in a pit. But God Almighty can diagnose the problem. And He can give the cure. He can give the healing if we'll trust in Him. I know a lot of people say, well, if I know my heart. Boy, we need to be careful. We don't know our heart. The Bible said the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We don't know our hearts. We don't know what we're capable of. We want to think that we do, but we don't. If you say, if I know my heart, we ought to stop here and we ought to say, what does God see in my heart? Amen? We ought to question our heart and say, what does God see in you? And let God make those changes that we need for His glory. So we see God as an engraver of the heart. We see God as a farmer in the heart. We see God as that great one, that great doctor, that great physician of the heart. But we also see in this, we see God the great, the worship leader. The one that leads us into worship. See, the throne of Judah had been destroyed and decayed. It fell apart. They weren't worshiping God. They was trusting in men. Does it sound kind of like today? We trust in everything but the Lord. The throne of God had been decaying and had decayed. But the prophet of God, he sees God. He sees God's glorious throne. And he begins to have hope. The Bible says in verse 12, he said, a glorious high throne from the beginning is the place of our sanctuary. Where's the place of our sanctuary? Praise God, in a glorious high throne. That's a place of safety. That's a place of security. That's a place of assurance. There's no other place. There's no other place that we can find that. There's no place in this world that we can find that. But we find it in the glorious throne room of God. We find a sanctuary, praise God, in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Where He's able to help us in that glorious throne. That throne on high. Amen. It's not a throne down low. It's not a human throne. Amen. We have kings and priests and princes and presidents, but praise God, they're not gods. But there's a God and He's real. Amen. And His name's Jesus. And He's able to help us, praise God. Those who trust, praise God, in the Lord, praise God, they'll have that trust not in the Lord, they'll have neither salvation nor security. But when we trust in the Lord, see, those that don't trust the Lord, the Bible says their name's written in the earth. Amen? Verse 13, he said, O Lord, the hope of Israel, all that forsake thee shall be ashamed, and they that depart from me shall be written in the earth. Written in the earth. Amen? Written in the earth. Praise God, I don't know about you, I don't want my name written in the earth. We can have titles and things down here. We can have our names written in the church roll book, and we can have our names written down at the Capitol, and we have them at the State House, and we have them over on the board, the deeds and the registrations and everywhere else all around this country, praise God, in this earth. But praise God, I'm glad tonight that my name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life, praise God, by the marvelous hand of the engraver. And praise God, He's never going to erase my name. Amen. I thank God for that. Praise God. I thank God for the worship leader that leads us to the sanctuary and a place of worship this evening. Amen. God's throne room, that is our sanctuary. That's a place where we get help from the Lord. Amen. Where He begins to build us and help us and encourage us. Not with our name written in earth, but our name written in heaven. Amen. And He welcomes, listen to me, He welcomes all those that'll come. Amen. All those that'll come into the throne room of grace. Amen. He makes a way for us to come boldly. He said to come boldly before the throne of grace. Amen. Not a suggestion, it's a commandment to come trusting in the Lord. To get our help because our name's not written on the earth. They're not written in the earth. It's written in heaven. Luke chapter 10 and verse 20. Praise God. He says, our names are written in heaven. Those that trust and love the Lord, praise God. Name is written in heaven. And in Revelation chapter 21 and 27 says, it's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's written now. Your name's written by the hand of God in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise His holy name. Amen. When God writes your name, when the Lord has got it wrote down, God is ciphered down. Praise God. But I wonder, I was reading this yesterday, I guess it was yesterday, and I was thinking about it. He said His name is written in the earth. And I thought about the Lord Jesus Christ, praise God, in John 8, where he was talking about when he knelt down and he began to write on the ground. He began to write in the ground. And I thought, I wonder if he was those folks that was standing around there that was accusing somebody else of sin. I wonder if Jesus was writing their name in the earth. Was pinning their name down, was scratching their name in the dirt. Amen. Listen, hey, the Bible said, he said, those who are without sin cast the first stone. Amen. Wonder what he's doing, can't write those names in the earth. Praise God. Hey, listen, this one, he's sinned, and that one's sinned. Can you imagine be standing there and seeing you write, the Savior write your name down in the dirt? God help. It'd get you attention, wouldn't it? But God welcomes us to come into Him, and our name is written in heaven. Praise God. It's pinned down. Why? Because that's where God offers us help. He offers us fellowship, and He offers us to come together and worship. And He leads us in that worship, praise God, because He's God. He sets up worship so we can worship Him in spirit and truth as the angels of glory. Amen. God offers us help. That's where we come to get help. Amen. Praise God. That's where we come to get our needs met, where God begins to meet our needs. You say, why would God do that? Because God is working for you. Amen. You say, well, preacher, I thought we were supposed to be working for God. We are. Amen. But God's occupations, He's working for us, for you and me, for our families, our homes, our lives, our country, and our nation. God's working for us if we'll let Him. If we accept the work that He's done, but you know what we do? If we ain't careful, we start nitpicking what God's doing. Start nitpicking how God does it. Amen? Say, well, if I don't know why God's doing that way. Amen? He's doing it that way because that's the way He chooses to do it. We can't question God, but we just need to trust God. Because God's occupations, praise God, is those occupations to help us, praise God, to improve. So that we can be drawn closer to Him than we've ever been. A relationship with God Almighty. That's what He was desiring. That's what He wanted to do. That's what He was telling. Jeremiah was telling them that they should do. See, Jeremiah said this, and I'm done. Jeremiah chapter 16, verse 20. He says, shall a man make gods unto himself, and they are no gods? Therefore, behold, I will this once cause them to know, and will cause them to know mine hand and my might. And they shall know that my name is the Lord. Amen. God says, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get your attention. I'm going to just show you who I am. I'm going to show you who I am by my occupations, by what I'm wanting to do for you. But then he'd ask us a question tonight. He said, do we want to let Him do that, praise God, bring glory and honor to His name? And bring help and prosperity to you and I. That's what God wants to do tonight. But do we want to let Him? Amen. What do we want God to do for us?